We continue our series on the book of, or rather, from Hebrews 12:14, on the topic of pursuing holiness. Perhaps you know the text by memory. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification or holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Let me point out some of the highlights of our previous sermons. Number one, every professing Christian is to make the pursuit of holiness his lifetime occupation. Well, that says a lot. Every professing Christian is to make the pursuit of holiness his lifetime occupation. Pursue means track it down, persecute it, don't let it out of sight, day or night. Holiness is an indispensable part of our salvation. Why do we say that? Because without it, no man shall see the Lord. Why must we make the pursuit of holiness our lifetime occupation? Why is it an indispensable part of our salvation? Let me give you some more reasons. The pursuit of holiness is the purpose of God in salvation. He purposed to have a holy people before he created the world. That makes it vitally important, essentially important. It's the reason for all that went into making salvation available to man. Another reason is because of the division of the human race into two categories. The saved, the lost. Those who are basically living after the flesh, those who are living after the Spirit. Everyone in this room right now is either pursuing holiness or pursuing sin. One or the other. We dealt with the question, how may we be holy? And the answer to that is clear. How may we be holy? Discover that the source of holiness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And follow him in his teaching, in his life, in the Word of God. But Christ died that he might have a holy people. He lives that he might have a holy people. Walk in the fellowship of Christ, in communion with him, seeking to please him. First Corinthians 1:30, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, to seek holiness in any way apart from Christ is to do so in vain. We need to be growing in Christ, growing in the fullness of who He is, growing in His holy word, also recognizing that the Holy Spirit is the agent that conveys all of Christ to us. He communicates to us out of the fullness of Christ into our actual daily experience. We're talking about communion with God, fellowship with God, walking in communion with our Lord and Savior moment by moment, day by day, situation by situation, living in His presence. Another thing we pointed out, I'm just hitting some of the highlights this morning for you, is that we are to be active participants, consciously aware throughout the day and any given situation, I'm in this matter pursuing holiness. What is holy? What is right? What is glorifying to God in this matter? Be it ever so insignificant. There are no really insignificant matters in life. It all should be to the glory of God. Whether we eat, or whether we drink, or whatever we do, we do to the glory of God. I like Paul Washer's question. When's the last time you drank a glass of water to the glory of God? It's pursuing holiness right down to the very basic issues of life. Glorifying God. We are to be active participants. We are told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Then, most recently, we began to deal with the question, what is the substance of this holiness that I am to pursue? What is it actually made up of? First of all, remember, I'm sure you do by now, it involves an honest desire and a serious attempt to be cleansed and delivered from all sin. Dear ones, that is the substance of the holiness that I am to pursue. Those are the essential ingredients. Leave out one, you don't have holiness. What is this holiness? It's an honest desire. It's a serious attempt to be cleansed and delivered from the love and practice of all sin. Is that what you're pursuing consciously in any given situation? Notice we have not said it's an honest desire coupled with full attainment. Because you don't reach it this side of eternity. But we are saying it's an honest desire coupled with serious attempt. Today I want us to begin thinking of another aspect in this matter of what is that holiness that we are to pursue. It involves an honest desire, serious attempt. To do or to perform all the revealed will of God. This holiness involves an honest desire and a serious attempt to do or to perform all the revealed will of God. It is your serious attempt to comply with the revealed will of God. Now we all know, I hope we do by now, what an honest desire is. It's a conscious desire. It is an unrestrained desire. We are concerned about many things, but not so concerned about being holy men and women of God. We can get very concerned about our finances, our health, our appearance. On and on, the list is endless. I'm so concerned about this and concerned about that. How much are you really concerned about being holy? As much as you are about some of these other things? When we're truly converted, something happens. There is an implication of a desire to be holy. Do you have that desire? Is it a consuming desire? A young man who has an honest desire to pursue a young lady, is it evident? Perhaps you'll find this a bit amusing. I'll just relate it to you. I had just graduated. Well, actually, I was going back to Bob Jones for my last semester. It was during the summer. My aunt worked for a business on Ross Avenue near downtown. She was helping us with our mission work in West Dallas and helped us with the finances, and I had to go by to see her to pick up a check. And I went by, and in the course of our conversation out in front of the store, she said, "There's a nice looking young lady in the back. Would you like to meet her?" What do you think I was going to say? I said, "Sure." So she goes back, and she tells Loretta, "My nephew is out front, and he wants to meet you." So they came out, and I met Loretta. And we chatted back and forth, a few comments, a little while. And I said, "Would you like to go out to dinner Friday?" I didn't waste any time. That was a serious attempt. How did it manifest itself? "Hey, would you like to go out to dinner Friday?" Very smart. She said, "Well, I'm busy Friday, but I'm free Saturday." I said, "Saturday will work." I'm just relating that simply to say, if you're serious at all about the possibility of pursuing a young lady, you put it into effect. You say something, you do something. You don't stand there like a nut on a log. You get involved. You're a conscious participant in pursuing that young lady. And that wasn't the only evidence of it. The evidence is we were married 62 years. Are you serious? Well, there will be this resident in the heart. What is resident in the heart? An honest desire to do the will of God. And there will be evidence of it in your life. There will be a serious attempt to do the will of God. That's why it's so important that you learn the scriptures, because in the scriptures the will of God is revealed. How do I know what God's will is about how a husband should love his wife? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. And that is the revealed will of God. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. That's the revealed will of God. Children, be obedient to your parents. That is the revealed will of God. Where do you find it? You find it in the Word of God. You hear it preached, and you hear it taught by your parents, and exemplified by them. How much of the revealed will of God? The part you like? The part you don't have any problem with? And you marginalize the rest of it? All of it. The old writers had a unique expression. Learn it. Universal obedience. Universal obedience. Very important, those two words. Now, I want us to begin, and I have no ambitious thoughts that we'll finish. I want us to begin looking at evidences of this being true. In other words, this fleshed out very clearly before us. And I want us to do this. First of all, I want us to look at the confessions of men who are pursuing holiness. When you think of holy men who pursued holiness, and we think of the Old Testament, who comes to your mind? Well, good number of possibilities. But I've chosen David. David was a man after God's own heart. Do you know what David said? David said, "I delight to do thy will." That's the testimony of David. But he goes further than that and he says, "Oh my God, thy law is written in my heart." Do you not see, dear ones, it was a matter of heart desire. It wasn't just some emotional, flighty feeling, a few nice thoughts. It was engraved in his heart. "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written in my heart." And within the heart of every true and genuine believer, there must be this resident in the heart, a deep inner delight at the very thought of doing the will of God. Not some passing fancy. But it was not only the desire of his heart. When you look at the life of this man, you see this desire expressing itself in serious attempt. The record of those attempts will be found in the record of his life, and in a specific way, Psalm 119. And I'm still thinking about finishing our project one day of the study of Psalm 119. Turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 5. Here's David's prayer before God, recorded for us. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Here is a man pleading with God. What is he pleading for? That his ways would be directed by the statutes of God. It was a desire of his heart, that desire of his heart becoming a prayer to God, and that prayer was a serious attempt of David to be conformed to the revealed will of God, and that is expressed in his prayer. That is what we're saying. Verse 8 of Psalm 119. I shall can be translated, I will. Expression of determination. I will keep thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Now we have the desire of the heart. We have the prayer of the heart. Now we have the determination of the will. I'm going to do it. Don't get in my way. Verse 11. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. In other words, Lord, I am so determined to know and to do your will that I am going to memorize your truth. I'm going to have it before me. In form, perhaps, of a scroll. Why? So I can look at it. So I can remind myself of it. For what reason? To keep me from sinning. Is that not serious? Is that not the pursuit of holiness? His serious attempt expressed itself in prayer that he might be conformed to the will of God. It also expressed itself in great determination of his will. It expressed itself in the discipline of memorizing Scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Memorize it. What a glorious thing it is to have the word of God tucked away in your mind. You memorize it. It's there. You know it. And God can bring it to your attention when you need it most. Wasn't the expression when the computer started being invented, garbage in, garbage out? And we have to fight the garbage, don't we? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God. Memorize it. Take it away. Holy Spirit, because it's there, can bring it to your mind and heart whenever. And then it makes it easier to meditate on it. It's there. Call it to mind. Recite it. Think about it. Meditate on it. David said in verse 18 of Psalm 119, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law." He prays for illumination. That he might know the mind of God. Resolute determination is seen all through this psalm. Not only resolute determination, we have testimony of the fact that he pursued holiness. How? Look at verse 59 of Psalm 119. Deliberate determination, deliberate choice, deliberate action. "I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies." Action. Conscious, deliberate participation. "I, David, changed my direction." That's the pursuit of holiness. Well, that's David in the Old Testament. Who comes to mind in the New Testament? A lot of possibilities. But I've chosen the Apostle Paul. On the road to Damascus, the voice out of heaven, the blinding light, the apostle falls to the ground before the risen Lord. And what are the apostle's first words? "Lord, Lord, Paul, calling Christ Lord, whom he would have murdered if he could have. Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Submissiveness. It's the expression of a renewed heart. The desire of that renewed heart of Paul is to obey, to follow the directions, to do God's will. "What would you have me to do?" And dear ones, if that is missing in your heart, you have very serious reason to be concerned. It's the evidence of a saving work of grace. You see, here is Paul, in whom the new covenant had become operative. And when he gets up from that blinding light and encounter with Christ, he doesn't say, "Well, I think I'll just get up and do what I think is right." "I think I'll just figure it out." No. "What will you have me to do?" That's the expression of honest desire. Honest desire to know the revealed will of God. Well, was this simply an expression of a desire, and that's where it all ended? Like shooting off a firecracker? A sparkler that goes for a few seconds and is gone. Dear people, the life of Paul reveals that this desire was coupled with a serious attempt, so serious that if it meant being locked up in jail, to jail he went. That's how serious it was. That's how in earnest it was. This wasn't some emotional flighty feeling that had a burst of splendor for a couple of minutes. It took him to jail. It took him to being beaten. Turn with me to Philippians 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the gospel for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's serious. And Paul meant every word of it, and proved that he meant every word of it by his own life. His ambition was to lay hold in his experience of that for which Christ had laid hold of him. And when we make the statement that holiness is not only an honest desire, but also a serious attempt to do all that the revealed will of God means, we see that it is evidenced in the lives of these two men, David and Paul. Well, I want us to take a look at the assertions of some other writers of the Word of God. Listen to the words of Hebrews 5:9. "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." I'm going to ask you to turn there. You've got to look at it with your own eyes. I want it to be indelibly written on your heart. Hebrews 5:9. "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Question: are you obeying him? That's what we're talking about in this matter of pursuing holiness. Let me state it a little bit differently. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ is not the author of salvation to those who are indifferent to knowing and doing the revealed will of God. And that's just as plain and as bluntly as I can say it. Jesus Christ is not the author of salvation to those who are indifferent to knowing and doing the revealed will of God. This verse that we just quoted says that Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all and only to as many as obey him. Does your life give evidence of an honest desire and a serious attempt to do the revealed will of God? Does it? If not, dear people, I urge you, either give up your profession or give up your rebellion and submit to the revealed will of God and quit playing games. Let's turn to 1 John 2:3. I make no apology for asking you to turn to these scriptures. They're very, very crucial. 1 John 2:3. And by this, we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, "Oh, I've come to know Him," and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I don't think it could be stated more clearly. John said that writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's a serious and sobering warning. And it has to do with the commandments. Well, we have much more material. I think what we will do is close here and continue, God willing, next Lord's Day. And the topic that we will pick up on next week is the declarations of our Lord. We've seen the life of David. We've seen the life of Paul. And then we will hear from the scriptures. We've heard from the scriptures, men who wrote. And now, next week, we will consider the declarations of our Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we bow before you and humbly ask that you will have dealings with us individually. We pray, Father, that you will help us to personalize these truths, write them on our hearts. May our lives be conformed to your revealed will. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.